Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Andres Segovia, the great Spanish guitarist, died today in Madrid at the age of 94. The cause of death, not known. Segovia's name was synonymous with the classical guitar. His performing career spanned 70 years, and he conducted a world tour only last year. Segovia regarded his love for music as God-given and was entranced by it from early boyhood. He studied piano as a child but learned to play the guitar by ear. By the age of 15, he was recognized as a virtuoso. His American debut in 1928 at New York's Town Hall was the first in this country by a classical guitarist. The American jazz guitarist Charlie Byrd studied under Segovia in the 1950s.
He's certainly the greatest guitarist of our time, and he was very interested in seeing his ideas on the guitar perpetuated, and so he was very generous with his time. He demanded a certain loyalty to his ideas. He didn't want you changing his arrangements and things like that. I guess a good jazz guitarist was a little out of place in his class, but he was tolerant of me.
What set him apart? What made him special?
Oh, I think his whole approach to music, and he almost single-handedly brought the guitar back to the to a large public. Some of his contemporaries in Spain in the early part of the century, you know, the students of Francisco Tárrega and so forth, were wonderful guitarists, but no one had the tone and the personality and the romanticism that he had to bring the guitar to the public. No one really caught fire but him.
Charlie Byrd remembering Andres Segovia, dead today at 94. President Reagan left Washington this morning for Venice, telling high school students gathered on the White House lawn to see him off, next week's economic summit will strengthen Western solidarity but won't resolve the entire agenda.
We won't find all the answers to those questions about our future at this summit. Not by a long shot. In fact, many of the answers will come from where mankind's greatest energy and vision have always come. From you.
Yesterday, the president shook up world financial markets by announcing a change of command at the U.S. Central Bank. Doug Poling in Venice for the summit reports on the impact.
The European markets reacted mildly today to the news of Paul Volcker's resignation and the announcement that Alan Greenspan will be the new chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. The dollar was down just a fraction of a cent in London, and gold was up only slightly. Europe has had a full day now to digest the developments that made the U.S. markets jittery. There is concern about the direction of U.S. monetary policy because of the change in Fed leadership. The big question, will Greenspan continue the Fed's commitment to restrain inflation and stabilize the dollar? The feeling is that he probably will. The change in Fed leadership may have a negative effect on the economic summit here in Venice next week, where the expectations for major accomplishments are already running low. The feeling is that there is new uncertainty over future U.S. economic policy, and with all the other obstacles to meaningful agreements, the timing of this development is just one more. Doug Poling, CBS News, Venice.
Stocks are trading higher on Wall Street this morning, where the Dow Jones Industrial Average is ahead 16.39 at 2294.60. Big board volume, more than 27 million shares. Assistant Secretary of State Elliot Abrams is back before the Congressional Iran-Contra Committees this morning. Yesterday, he testified he was wrong in initially hiding from Congress his solicitation of $10 million from the Sultan of Brunei. Today, he denounced the act itself.
I have to tell you that I think it is shameful for the United States to be going around rattling a tin cup. I think it is shameful. I did it because the Contras were, as far as I knew, starving. They were in debt on buying food. They were cutting back rations. I had it in my legal power, with the approval of the president and the secretary, to get them food and medicine and clothing, and it would have been immoral, in my view, to have failed to use that authority. But it is a practice that I think is awful.
Abrams said one benefit of the long months of hearings is that the Sandinista government in Managua has ground to a halt as officials spend all day watching pirated TV coverage. This afternoon, leaders of the House and Senate committees meet with Special Prosecutor Lawrence Walsh, who wants them to hold off immunity grants for Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. North's lawyers, meanwhile, go back to court today to press their fight against Walsh's grand jury proceeding. It's reported Congressman Mario Biaggi, his son, and five others will be indicted in New York today on racketeering charges for helping the WedTech Corporation get Pentagon business. Two special prosecutors are also looking into the WedTech ties of Attorney General Meese and former White House aide Lynn Nofziger. Democrat Nancy Pelosi was the winner in San Francisco in a special election for the House seat of the late Sally Burton. and slot machine salesman Ron Lurie was elected mayor of Las Vegas. A flotilla of some 24 Indian boats loaded with food and medicine has now reportedly been stopped off the coast of Sri Lanka, where Tamil separatists are facing a government offensive. Sri Lanka had said it would intercept those boats and not allow them to dock. French doctor Daniel Zaghouri reported last night to the Third International Conference on AIDS that he's been able to strengthen the immune systems of AIDS victims and healthy people. More from Dr. Peter Salgo, who reports on medical issues for CBS News.
Zaghouri gave an experimental AIDS vaccine to two small groups of volunteers, and it was a limited success. He gave it to volunteers who had been exposed to the AIDS virus. He hoped it would keep the disease from progressing through their bodies. Although he drew no conclusions about the success of that experiment last night, he did find the vaccine seemed safe.
It is now too premature to discuss the clinical benefits obtained in these patients. But it should be stressed, however, that none of them showed any deterioration on their clinical and immunological status up to now.
When he gave his vaccine to a group of healthy volunteers, one of them was himself, he found that there was a response to the drug. The volunteers produced antibodies to AIDS, antibodies which might prove protective against the AIDS virus. But Dr. Zaghouri cautioned against reading too much into his research, and he pointed out that his experimental vaccine cannot be produced commercially in large quantities. He did say, however, he is reasonably hopeful about the future. Dr. Peter Salgo, CBS News, Washington.
This is Rob Armstrong at the International AIDS Conference. Despite the Reagan administration's repeated calls for widespread and in some cases mandatory AIDS testing, Dr. Donald Hopkins of the Centers for Disease Control said this morning that mandatory testing is a waste of time.
The tiger is already in our house. Whether it entered through a window or through the back door may be useful to prevent other carnivores from entering later. But immediate attention had better be directed to the problem at hand.
Later today, a potential threat to the nation's blood supply. Current tests do not account for the gestation period of the AIDS virus. A person may test negative, donate blood, and subsequently test positive. The only way to guarantee absolutely safe supplies of blood is to accept blood only from people who have been celibate for as long as 6 months. And that would also guarantee a blood shortage. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Washington.